Thank you so much, Micah, for that warm welcome and thoughtful prayer that's keeping us connected together in this season of COVID-19. We're going to spend some time today in our last message in this series, Transformed, The New Has Come. But before I do, I want to mention two things that I need you to join with me in giving God some gratitude and some thanksgiving. The first is a person. Our worship director, Malcolm Morgan, has been incredible in this season. You see, when we got Malcolm, we got more than a worship director. We got a person of high character as well as high skill. And particularly his skill in graphic design, web design, video editing, social media, content driving is something we didn't interview for, but we got. God blessed us tremendously with this individual. He is incredibly gifted and he has been putting in work, I want y'all to know. He actually has a business of his own doing all of that stuff I mentioned outside of worship leading and singing. So if you need that resource, certainly look him up because he is incredibly talented. We could not do what we are doing right now. We couldn't enjoy this, what we're enjoying right now, without his leadership, his character, and his skill. The second thing I want to give thanks for, and I want to invite you to give gratitude to God with me for in thanksgiving, is for this building, but not just for this building, to the Free Methodist Church that is allowing us to meet here rent-free, lease-free, mortgage-free, y'all. It is not a financial burden on this congregation in this season where we are not able to physically meet in this building because we have to still pay rent, lease, or mortgage. We still got to keep up utilities. We got to keep the lights on, internet working, all that good stuff. But praise God. Praise God we don't have the added burden. And so we are financially stable right now because of your generosity. I want to thank God and praise God for that. And I also want to invite you to continue thinking about and praying about giving to our benevolence fund so that we can support others who are going through their own individual, personal, family seasons of crisis, as well as meeting the needs of others in our community. We're starting to put our heads together as well about meeting the needs right in this immediate neighborhood, and your financial gift will help us to give there. So let's give God some thanks and gratitude. Praise God for what he has done. So what is God saying to us in this season? I'm so glad we decided to stick with this message series on being transformed, because in this last one, I think God wants to tell us to slow down. I think God wants to tell us that this is a time to slow down, to be with Jesus, and to be with his family. We talked about that family piece last week in Communitas, that intentional transformation does not happen without the intentional practice of building community with other believers, as well as leaning and depending on the teachings of Jesus, the Word of God. And also today, what we will look at is our practices of the faith. Some people call those spiritual disciplines, or they call it spiritual formation. It's called many things, all pointing to the same thing. There are some things that we must do to aid in our deepening of the soul and our transformation into the image of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work in all of this. It is the Holy Spirit that is illuminating our minds to the Word of God and bringing us fresh revelation. It is the Holy Spirit that is connecting us together as the communitas, the people who are intentionally pursuing the same transformation in our lives. And then the Spirit deepens our work through the practice of the faith. You see, over time, there are things that are happening, blips on the screen, some that we rejoice over and others that we grieve and lament over. And I wonder if God is saying to us in this season what he said to my friend Danny Greenewalt, one of the group leaders here at Sanctuary, that disruptions can be an invitation to deeper discipline. That invitation to deeper discipline comes from the disruptions we find happening in our lives. And if COVID-19 ain't a disruption, y'all, I don't know what is. is an invitation perhaps to strip away from the excess stuff in our lives so that we can find ourselves trusting more in Jesus. Or like my friend Shayna Koss, who sent me an email earlier this week, she's taken advantage of this season by downsizing some things in her home and minimizing her possessions as she pursues a minimalist lifestyle. And the reality is she's been on this journey for quite a while now. She's just saying the plan has been accelerated in this season. She's maximizing this space. What is this invitation, this disruption inviting you into right now? What's it inviting you into? People are looking so much on the outside of what's happening with COVID 19 and not thinking about what is happening on the inside of my life. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus says these words, "Come to me, all you who are weary." Can I get a hand of anybody who's weary right now? It's been going on 3 weeks. The governor said, hey, we're gonna be sheltering at home throughout the month of April. Don't even holler at me. Anybody weary? He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened." Anybody else burdened? You got both hands up now. Weary and burdened as you learn all this new technology and as you ramp up. You ain't talked to so many people in your whole life. Now, every day, all day, you just talking. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Hallelujah. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. Here's what I want you to understand today, is that the spiritual life without discipline is impossible. It is impossible to be intentionally transformed without practice, without discipline. It is impossible because discipline is the other side of that Christian word, discipleship. And disciple, which means one who learns. And so to be disciplined is one who continues and consistently learns. We are always to be in practice. No perfection here. No one reaching the transformation into the image of Jesus Christ until we meet Jesus face to face. So until then, we practice and we discipline and we move ourselves into deeper disciplines so that we can be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, there are so many books that have been written about disciplines and spiritual practices, some really good ones. Too many. I can't even name them all. But the reality is when you pick up any one of them, they're going to have a list of disciplines to suggest for you and for me. Very good disciplines. But there's one for me that stands out above all the others, or rather all of the others kind of get their leverage from. They get their fuel from this one particular spiritual practice. And that practice is solitude. You know, there's all kinds of spiritual practice. There's the spiritual practice of fasting, of turning down your plate or turning off your electronic device or setting yourself away from the coffee or the wine for a season so that you can deepen your dependence on Jesus and his word and the communitas of believers. But there's also the practice of witnessing, of sharing your faith, of telling others the story of what God is doing in your life, how God is sustaining you through this season, how God is shaping you and working you to become a better version of Christ in you, not just a better version of yourself, but a better version of Christ in you, the hope of glory. prayer. That's a huge umbrella, you know, discipline, right? There's silent listening prayer. There's praying in the Spirit. There's Lectio Divina and reading the scriptures prayerfully. There's so many different forms of prayer, too many to name. I can't name them all, but there's practices of serving and giving and justice. And any spiritual practice we can name gets its leverage and gets its fuel from solitude, from being alone with God in your heart. I'm not talking about just being alone in a place where there's no other people. I'm talking about being alone with God in your own heart. And being alone with God in our own hearts is something that our bodies and our minds and our souls naturally rejects. We naturally reject and we rebel and we pull away from those spaces because we're not sure if we want God poking around on the inside of our souls. But here's the thing. I was at the grocery store not too long ago, and I didn't have on gloves. I didn't have on masks. But man, I noticed so many people wearing gloves and masks. They're protecting themselves. And we are in a heightened season of protecting ourselves from contracting the virus known as COVID-19. But I wonder if we're, you know, trying our best not to be exposed to COVID-19, when in reality, COVID-19 is exposing us. Yeah, we're trying our best not to contract the virus. We're trying our best not to touch anything and wiping down everything that ain't in our immediate, you know, possession. And while we're trying our best not to be exposed to the virus itself is exposing us, and it's exposing our little gods that are taking the place of God. The calendar God, that schedule that we try to control and we try to maintain. The calendar God is angry right now. The people God, we like to be around people. I'm an extrovert. I want to be around people. I want to hug. I want to high five. I want to go to the gym and do yoga and all this. But listen, the people God is being exposed, and the people God is angry. The work God is angry. The food God is angry. The control God is angry. Earlier this week, y'all, I was, you know, struggling trying to figure out Zoom and all of the stuff that it can do. And, you know, I was up to 2:00 in the morning, but it was at 1:00 in the morning that I started to feel a little something in my belly, like you need to get something to eat. Now, here's the thing. I 1:00 in the morning, don't judge. I'm sure some of y'all get up at 1:00 in the morning. Y'all have a snack too. You know, and normally, I might get a banana, maybe a bag of Doritos or something like that. But I'm on this pescatarian, you know, diet for 2020. That is fish only. No beef, no pork, no chicken. But y'all, I made me a salami and ham and cheese sandwich, and that blessed my soul. I ain't supposed to be eating meat. Oh, I ate the whole thing. And then the night after that, we had some leftover spaghetti meat. I didn't have spaghetti with the kids because I'm not doing it. I ate the leftover. I just ate the spaghetti, just warmed it up in the microwave and ate that thing. You know what it's doing? It's exposing the food God. The food God that wants to go to food when I'm feeling those moments of tension, when I'm feeling those moments of stress, when I'm feeling those moments of anxiety. And the food God gets angry and says, feed me. The food God don't like solitude any more than the calendar God does or the work God does. And this crisis is so disturbing, so confusing, that we can hardly wait to get back to worshiping the gods we've been worshiping before COVID-19. You know, solitude, this place of sheltering at home, doesn't automatically shut off the chaos for the stuff that you were tied to before COVID-19. It just exposes the stuff that you were worshiping and devoted to before COVID-19. It brings it to the surface and says, here's some things that you need to deal with in your life. like a crack in the driveway that exposes the foundation, so is COVID-19 exposing the hearts and minds and souls of our foundation that are weak in Christ Jesus. Here's what my friend Henry Nouwen says about spiritual discipline. That spiritual discipline is necessary in order to move slowly from an absurd, which is from the Latin word that means deaf, to an obedient, which is from the Latin word that means listening, life. From a life filled with noisy worries to a life in which there is some free inner space where we can listen to our God and follow his guidance. He says it's necessary for us to move from the place where we're not able to hear God to a place where we are listening actively so that we can follow God as obediently as we possibly can. Silence and solitude and stillness raises up our inner doubts and raises up our anxieties and fears and bad memories and unresolved conflicts and angry feelings and impulsive desires. And on the contrary, when we are removed from our outer distractions, we find that our inner distractions manifest themselves even more in full force. Pay attention, beloved, to the little gods that are poking out their heads and saying, we've had enough of this sheltering in place. The pain and the frustration that you feel right now is because God is unearthing something in you to deal with. You thought it had to do with your kids staying home, but it's really about that anger that you've been struggling with. You thought that it was about spending money, but it's really your belief that you don't want to live without lack while you're spending that money. Man, my other friend T.D. Jakes, pastor of one of the largest churches in America, he says God never wastes our pain. It's a friend to the believer because it's a weight that builds spiritual muscle. The pain, the frustration, the silence, the solitude, the pulling away is a weight that all is building up a spiritual muscle in you such that when we come out of this thing by the grace of God, we will become stronger. But we've got to discipline ourselves to depend even more on God that God can and will provide for us. It reminds me of Exodus chapter 16, where Moses is leading his children through the wilderness right after they escaped from Egypt, and God provided for them. Chapter 16, verse 11, this is what the word of the Lord says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat." That's at night. At night, I'm going to provide quail. "And in the morning, you shall be filled with bread." That's the manna. In the morning, you're going to have manna. "And you shall know that I am the Lord your God." Y'all, we in a wilderness right now. And while we're in the wilderness, the Lord says, "Come away with me and meet in the morning. Come away with me and meet in the evening. Come away with me and learn and know that I am your Lord and your God." Not the other stuff. That's not to be your Lord. Not the other stuff. That's not to be your God. Two times in this passage, the Lord says, "I will be your provider. In the morning, I'll be your provider. In the evening, I will be your provider. When you wake up and when you go to sleep, Lord, have mercy. I will be your provider." In the same place, he said that on Saturday, that day, you know, that last day, that sixth day, you're going to get double of what you need, because on the seventh day, you're going to need to rest. You're going to need to rest. You're going to need to pull away. You can't drum up any activity here. There's Don't think that you can store up something from the days before, because I'm providing for you daily, and I'm going to give you enough to sustain you for the day where I'm calling you away, so that you will Sabbath, so that you will rest, so that you will be in solitude with me. My God, the God of the universe, who had all things in the palm of his hands, but his children believed that they had nothing. Do you know, beloved brother and sister, that you belong to the God of the universe, who has all things in his hands? And in a season of lack, God still has what you need, and that you lack nothing? Let me say something to you. Don't waste this season because you're in a hurry to get to the next one. Don't waste this season of life of sheltering in place, of limiting our activity with the outside world, so that we can attune ourselves to the inner world that God is trying to get into. The God of the universe, who was able to deal with the children of Israel when they were grumpy by giving them more grace and providing for them, is the same God that wants to give you grace in your season of wilderness and in mine. The children of Israel, yeah, they were honest. Hey, it was better back in Egypt. It was so much better back in COVID-19. Listen, y'all. Let's not look back, but look forward in what God has for us. Name the pain that you're in. Lament and grieve over what was lost, and ask God, Lord, what do you have for me next? And can I say this too? Don't waste this season by numbing yourself from the things that are trying to pull you away from the silence and the solitude that God is trying to give you. Now, I want you to listen to some folks from Sanctuary, some other folks who are taking this season right now, and they are slowing down in their moment of silence and solitude and sheltering at home so that they can be with Jesus.
Good morning, Sanctuary. We're the Kongs. I'm Lynn. This is Darlene. And I've been attending Sanctuary for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. Definitely enjoying it, and we really miss being there. Today, I'm going to read scripture from John 15. And after I read, Darlene's going to share a little bit about just what that verse means to her. So John 15, verse 4 through 5 says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Thank you. So this passage has been something that I've heard a lot growing up in the church, and I'm sure you have too.
Just
growing up in the church, and it is comforting because, you know, you think, wow, Jesus is with me. If I remain in him, then he'll remain in me, and I'll bear much fruit if I remain in him. It can also be, on the other side, discomforting at times, because I think, man, okay, remain in him. Well, how do I do that? What do I need to do in order to remain in him? So then it becomes quickly about doing rather than just being. And this is something that Pastor Rich has been talking about lately in this transformation series, is that really we don't have to do anything to become what Christ has in mind for us to be. I have the privilege and honor of working for an organization called Healing Care Ministries, and Terry Wardle is the founder and the main speaker of that organization. And I was recently listening to one of his teachings, and he talks about how abiding is about positioning. So it's not about what I do and strive to be and become, but it's really about just how I position myself, and then the transformation will come and the abiding will come. And so just like Pastor Rich talked about a couple weeks ago, where the caterpillar, he doesn't have to strive and muster up all the strength to change into a butterfly. He just, through the circumstances of his life, he becomes who he's supposed to be in that beautiful butterfly. And so we, in a Christian life, we can position ourselves in community with other believers through church on Sunday or through a small group or during this season through a chat, a FaceTime, a phone call, and then position ourselves before the Word of God. And it's, we don't have to do some special devotion or some special anything. It's really just position ourselves and the transformation will come. So abiding is about positioning. Blessings to you.
Hello, Sanctuary Columbus. I hope you are doing really well. I am out here enjoying this beautiful day, these blue skies, taking advantage of this chance to get outside. So I'm Corey, and Pastor Rich has given me an opportunity to share with you all this week, and I'm really grateful for that. Some things that I've been thinking about as we have been experiencing this, what I'm calling a forced pause. A few weeks ago on Facebook, a friend of mine posted something that was really interesting to me. She said that rather than shelter in place, that we ought to shelter in presence. And I tell you, just that right there gets you to think about how we consider this moment. That rather than just thinking of it as being restrictive, that it's an opportunity to experience the presence of God, to reflect on who we are as the beloved of God and who our God is. In fact, it says in Scripture in Psalm 91:1, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So here we are. We have this opportunity to do that. And you may do it in a variety of different ways. I really want to encourage you not to judge yourself or feel guilty or be legalistic. Completely free yourself. This is going to be different for different people. Maybe you will take this opportunity to listen to or watch sermons online. Maybe you'll take this opportunity to meditate on certain scriptures in the Bible. Or maybe there's like this book of the Bible you've been wanting to get through for a long time, something like Deuteronomy or Leviticus. And you thought, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity to do that. Or maybe it's something different than that. Maybe it's you getting through your favorite HGTV episodes, or getting through the Star Wars series on Disney Plus, or maybe it's baking, cooking some great food. Or maybe it's like jamming out to your favorite playlist, making a makeshift dance floor in your living room. If anybody knows me just a little bit, they know that's going to be something I've been doing. So, rather than shelter in place, let's shelter in the presence of God. The main idea is getting in touch with who we are, the beloved of God, and reflecting on the character of our God, who also happens to be our Heavenly Father. So I leave you with this. How will you shelter in presence?
Was that not a good word? A good word from the Lord to be reminded not to waste this season of life because we're in a hurry to get to the next one by abiding in Jesus, by not just simply sheltering at home or in place, but in the presence of God. It's an invitation, y'all. It's an invitation, and solitude is calling out to you. Come to me. Listen to the words of Jesus again, this time in the Message translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I can hear the prophetess Janet Jackson saying to the people of the world today, trying to make a better way of life. We are a part of the rhythm nation. Yeah. God is looking for a rhythm nation, people who will learn the unforced rhythms of grace by deepening their heart and opening their souls through solitude so that Jesus can magnify the other spiritual practices and disciplines in your life. Beloved, this is our season to develop new rhythms for our family, new rhythms in our practice of being alone with Jesus, new rhythms of how we relate to others and boundaries that we create around work, and new rhythms for how we think about our relationship with food, and new rhythms and how we're handling our anxiety and our frustrations and the things that are outside of our control. It is in this space of solitude that we come to know all that Jesus has already given to us. The stuff that he's already provided, and the discipline of solitude allows us to gradually come in touch with the hopeful presence of God for our future in the now, that we might taste and see that the Lord is good. Hear God calling you. Away, away from the noise, alone with you. Away to hear your voice and meet with you. It's been a while, and my heart cries out again. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Oh, 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 oh. Church, as we are being invited into this season of solitude, let me ask you a few questions and then we'll pray the Lord's Prayer together. When you hear the word discipline, what comes to mind, both positive and negative reactions? Do you experience the negative perspective when discipline is related to your faith experience? And why is that? Are you receiving or resisting being alone with God in this season of life? What sense of God's presence do you have while you are alone in solitude? Beloved, as we deepen our hearts and souls for Jesus, being transformed into the image of Christ, the new is here. The old has gone. Let's lean into the new together and pray the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying these words: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, church. Let's pray this Lord's Prayer together this week. Join with us as we deepen our souls for God to have space in our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. God bless you until we meet again next week.